Sometimes.
I know what I'm doing all the fucking time.
What is going on, everybody? I'm Kevin from Cigar Prop, and I am, see, I forgot the show intro, welcome, because Jessica's beside me. This is like, she got me all screwed up. I looked over at her, and then I'm like, Jessica. Wait, what? And I had a brain fart. Welcome to the I Tap That Cigar Show, presented by Corona Cigar. Once again, I am your host, Kevin from Cigar Prop, and I'm coming to you live from the Drew Estate Experience Acid Studios here on the sunny Gulf Coast of Florida. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Care Viajante of Stogie Road Cigars. And look who joined us on her first show on camera of the season.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while.
It's been.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you,
been a Care. Long time since we've had you on the show.
Yeah.
Like on screen. On camera. Anyways.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Background and working.
Jessica.
Where have I been?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much working. That's pretty much it. I mean, I started the new Corona Sarasota location and basically helped fill it from scratch before it even opened. So I got a really good education on how to set up a lounge from nothing to what it is now. And I'm tired. We finally had our grand opening, so things should calm down. I mean, I hope business doesn't calm down, but getting prepared for the grand opening.
So did everything that Kevin taught you about the lounge that you have now that you're building, was that helpful for your new job?
No, nothing about any of that. It was helpful.
Because Kevin did not have millions of dollars to spend on.
I wasn't part of that.
Shut up, Harry. This is the first show. Why are you guys getting mad at me already?
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. Like, this was an experience of its own, like a whole separate thing. So, you know, but no, I'm learning a lot. So it's good.
Well, they are in good hands, Jessica.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I feel confident. I'll agree with you on that.
I go back to busting balls if you'd like, but I'll definitely
compliment. No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
What's going on, Kara?
Kev,
what's new? What's new? What's happening? Kev,
I was going to ask you a question, but I'm going to ask Jessica first. Jessica. Okay.
Yes.
Because Kevin will forget to ask me this question. What are you smoking tonight?
I actually picked out three, and I'm having a hard time deciding on which one I actually want to smoke.
Rattle them off, and we'll tell you. We'll give you some feedback.
All right. So this one is the Hard Charger.
Yep, Hard Charger.
Yeah, Hard Charger. Mm-hmm. And then this one... What is this? The American?
That's the American Barrel
Age. Yeah, the American Barrel Age. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I can do this. I'm just having a hard time reading. It's dark right here.
Yeah.
And then this one is the Triple Maduro.
Hard Charger.
Yeah?
Start with the Hard Charger.
It's been a long time since I smoked that.
All right. That's what I'm going with. Thank you for asking, Care, and choosing my cigar.
Well, as my recommendation, you choose. You make the decision yourself.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. Let's get
right into the Cigar Medix Humidimeter Cut and Light, since we're all
getting
our cigars.
I'm smoking the Amendola. This is the West Side Story.
Oh, nice.
And I'm smoking the Blades.
Oh, right on.
The Blades. Awesome. What about you, Kev?
I am smoking a Camacho Candela.
This
got to be 5 years old. I think I'll have to ask Jack, because I bought this box when they re-released it. Actually, he might not know.
You might want to message Jack.
Yeah, I see he cut out. He's done this before, so he knows what he's doing.
I got to tell you, man.
What was your percentage at?
Mine's at 63.
Mine's at 62.
61.
I got to tell you, that Camacho Candela... fucking really good. It is really good.
It is fantastic. God, now, like I said, we'll get to this more. Later on. I think I got some questions on that. So yeah, hopefully I'm sure Jack's computer just freaked out on him a little bit. So yeah,
I got some questions too about that cigar because I was really surprised by it. And it was, I smoked a few, and never disappointed.
Yeah, I have yet to have one disappoint.
So, what was your humidity at, Kev?
I think 61, 62. Mm-hmm. So absolutely perfect.
Oh, you know what?
And then I used my...
I didn't even cut mine.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
And then I used the Cigar Medix Baller. That's why I need a second camera up front so I can show people.
You do.
I do. I still haven't figured out how to do the second camera thing yet.
I don't know. Kara can zoom in on my face and I'll show it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to do that?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know when you're being serious or not.
It's at a weird angle.
No, that's why I said it.
Jessica, if you don't want me to do it.
Sorry.
Oh my God, sir. It's been a while. It's probably been 6 months since I've had this cigar. This is good. Cigar. And we have, I mean, and I got an entire Tupperware there. There's probably, I probably got 80 different, or not different, but probably 80 Camachos inside there, probably a dozen different blends.
I smoked the Hard Charge and I liked it. I don't smoke a lot of Camachos, but the first box that I bought, the first two boxes I ever bought, full boxes, was the Red Witch from Gurkha, okay, and the Camacho Corojo. It was at a Camacho event that Duncan was holding. Those were the first two boxes I've ever bought.
The first box of premium cigars that I ever bought was a box of Camacho Criollos.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was just whatever Thompson was like the Victor Sinclairs. I was like hooked on the 555 series. The green was my favorite back then.
They actually come in boxes.
Yeah, Victor Sinclair's came in boxes.
Yeah.
So that was before like the tax fraud thing. I think they may have I don't know if that guy actually went to prison, but there was a deal with the Victor Sinclair
thing. Yeah.
I'll just tell you right now, Kevin had you did some kind, I don't know what project it was, but you had so many Camacho bands.
Oh, cigar bands.
Oh my God. I've been going through them and trying to separate cigar bands. And every time, like just every once in a while, I'll just sit down and do it for a few hours. And he thought we had used all of them. I have found almost a whole entire Ziploc bag full of more Camacho bands.
You want to know why?
This is like over like 6-7 years ago.
You
want to
know why you found so many?
Why?
Poor housekeeping. And Kevin is about ready to talk about housekeeping. Yeah. He's got a few housekeeping things to do, but that is poor housekeeping.
Yeah, it was the thing is, like I said, in this house, you can open up a random drawer, just a random drawer anywhere in the house. There's a good chance it's chock full of cigar bands.
Yeah, like Kevin, that was my transition for you to get into the housekeeping.
I do have.
You think I'm criticizing Jessica's housekeeping online? Yes,
I do have a little bit of housekeeping that I want to get out of the way. I put it here. I want to apologize to Matt Tobacco because I used the same picture of Jack in our thumbnail for this show as he did when he had Jack on. But Jack doesn't have a lot of good quality thumbnail photos. You know, unless I wanted to use, I really thought about using that one when Jack was like 14, like he was, I don't know, 14 or 17, like it was fly. So I thought about using that photo of Jack, but then I just went for the cowboy hat Jack, which everybody knows from him to that photo. So Jack's definitely got to get some thumbnail photos out there. So that was my housekeeping. Sorry, Matt Tobacco, for using the same picture of Jack. All right. Anybody else have any housekeeping before we kick the show off here? No. All right. I see Jack is back in the green room. All right. So before we bring on our guest tonight, we want to take a moment to thank all of our show partners for making this happen each and every week. Thank you, JC Newman Cigars, Cigar Medix, Amendola Cigars, We Are the Muscle, Jake Wyatt Cigars, Illusione Cigars, deep in flavor, deep in your mind, K by Karen Berger Cigars, Corona Cigar, and of course, Drew Estate and Experience Acid. So waiting patiently in the Experience Acid green room is Jack Heyer of Camacho Cigars. We got you.
Hang on 1 second. My headphones aren't working.
So, Jessica.
Yes.
I'm glad you picked up on that. I was not criticizing the house.
No, I know you were it. But yeah, Kevin.
Sorry. Yeah.
Kevin sometimes doesn't pay attention.
Speaking of
he's nervous house, you're right next to him.
Yeah. I am. I'm within hitting distance. That's yeah. my problem.
Well, at least now yeah. I probably won't get burned by his cigar. Remember
yeah.
how he used
yeah.
to always
he said,
be like
wave my cigar around.
That's funny.
All right.
So speaking of housekeeping, Kevin, you're getting ready to say something?
I was just being facetious. Speaking of housekeeping, yeah.
Gotcha. So, housekeeping?
What's everybody smoking? Let us know in the comments. See.
And if your headphones don't work, Jack, it's not a big deal. You can pop them out. You're in a room by yourself, so I'm probably not going to
get Yeah, sorry about that, gang. I had everything all set up perfectly, and my Wi-Fi router died the second the show went live. So all right. I was struggling to get back online, and I had whatever. We're here, you know. That's show business, baby. That's probably do live stream.
You know, you turned your hat around, and I thought Matt Tobacco just hopped on. Is that? I mean, I really instantly. I blinked. I'm like, where did Matt Tobacco come from? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it was. Hey, us generic white guys with beards, we don't all look alike. All right, I take great offense to that.
Oh my God! Well, welcome back. You know, it's been 3 years.
That's crazy. A lot has changed.
Yeah, you had only been on your previous job for 3 weeks.
Okay, that was good timing.
When we had you on, and like I said, and it took forever to get you back.
I think that the world wasn't even ending or anything by that point, too. I mean, so we went through a full global pandemic, job changes, this and that. So it is a true honor to be back. Thank you guys for having me. You know, you guys are some of my favorite people in this wonderful cigar industry of ours. So I'm happy to be back.
Right. And then before we delve into congrats, got engaged.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
On Friday. Yes. So it was a busy week, making permanent life decisions, feeling great about it. The mood's high.
Yeah. So how long have you two been dating?
We've been together for a couple years, and we've lived together for a year. So at that point, it's just kind of like, what are we doing here? Let's make it official.
Yeah,
that's it. How'd you two to meet then?
We met online on a dating app, and I at the time I was in digital marketing, so I like to think that I was doing my job pretty well. I was like, I have to trick her. She's much prettier than I am. So I was like, I got to figure out how to trick her or string her along long enough, and then boom,
Wear it down.
It's got to be the beard, because I've said I have met myself included the goofiest looking or acting guys, but you throw a beard and they get these beautiful women, and I don't understand
It's our makeup. This is what we do to jump up.
So Jessica and I met on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah. Perfect.
That's it. Kara, how did you and Jen meet?
Same way, same place.
Oh, same place?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a trifecta.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Unlike you, I consider myself handsome. I'm not goofy or anything. I consider myself very handsome, and Jennifer is very lucky to find me.
Yeah. Yes.
Kevin does tell me that. He's always like, "You're so lucky to have me."
We've done in the past, we've had people in the cigar industry and their wives on. We always ask the questions, but we'll just ask the one question we always ask them: any awkward dating stories, like or dating fails.
Oh, I have a pretty good one. So I was on a, not a blind date, but I didn't really have a great idea of what my date was looking like. She goes, "Hey, I'm going to be showing up. I'm going to be wearing a jean jacket." And then, you know, I'm standing in front of the restaurant and the most attractive woman I've ever seen wearing a jean jacket is walking. And then she just kind of keeps walking by. And I was like, uh-oh. And then, you know, I meet her and she was not bad looking. She was a lovely lady, but I'm like, "You look familiar. I can't put my, and then about when the appetizers come down, I'm like, "Oh my God, she looks exactly like my sister." I can't say, "You look exactly like my sister. This is just never going to work out," you know? And to make matters worse, I'm a huge baseball fan, or I was at the time. And the Colorado Rockies traded their best player, Nolan Arenado, during this dinner. So I go to the bathroom because my phone is just, and I get the news at the dinner with my sister. So I'm like, "Oh my God." It was really emotional for me. I was like crushed. I come out of the bathroom. I've been in there for way too long because I'm reading articles. I'm like, I splash water on my face. I'm just like, "Oh my God." And then I come out and she's like, "Is everything okay?" And then now I'm like, "Okay, there's no way I'm going to be able to say, like, hey, my sports team, we lost. So I just said, I just got some really bad news about a friend."
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not. Just diarrhea. That just gets you out of there. Diarrhea.
So it's appetizer.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her. It was nothing she could have done, but she must have been like, "That was the strangest date
of all." Oh my God. It's like, wonder what kind of version of that story she tells
me. Oh yeah.
You're her story when someone asks her that question.
Yeah, I know. I kind of want to hear that one. This guy was so weird. He's been bathing forever. Pretty sure he had diarrhea.
I think he was taking a big shit and he came out and said there's something happened with his friend. I don't know.
Was he crying? I don't know.
Crying.
Yeah, I think he was crying.
Does your future bride smoke cigars?
She, you know what, is not all that interested in cigars, and that's all right with me. You know, I spend enough time in cigar shops and smoking cigars that when I'm home, usually, I'm not jonesing too bad, and I don't have a sweet, you know, setup to smoke at home.
Right.
So, you know, it's a nice reprieve. Cigar.
But does she tolerate the cigar? Like, as you come home, you got to be smelling.
That she has to. She has no choice in the matter. You know, I open up my luggage and it's just.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So
that part, like, it's perfume. Don't you? Yeah. A good smell.
And that's what I used to work in the office every day. You know, you do come home just reeking. But I have to do separate cigar laundry because, like, you know, I have to do the whole unscentables and stuff. But you guys know that. So I can't.
Yeah.
That part, that's just. That's the cost of doing business. You knew what she signed up for.
Nice.
That's it. So luckily Jessica smokes. So if there's any lingering smoke on the clothes, right? Yeah, there's no way she can smell it.
No, but there's times where I don't smoke and I tell you, I'm like, "Yo, your beard stinks."
Oh yeah. I got up this morning and I almost threw up because of my beard. I had like six cigars yesterday and I forgot to shower before I went to bed. And I woke up and it was like a cat shit inside my mouth. Well, it went all over my beard. And
I'm so glad that I did not sleep in the bedroom last night because I had to work late. So I didn't want to wake him up. So I just laid on the couch and passed out. So I'm glad I didn't have to smell that. That's
plus if she's weird. Yeah, if she's not in bed, the pit bull takes her spot, and she, you can't move that. So all right. So let's dive right into this this cigar show. Everybody watching tonight, everybody listening to the podcast in the future, probably knows who Jack Heyer is just because of social media. But a lot of people might not know like your story. You don't tell your story a whole lot on coming up. So let's go back in the Wayback Machine and go all the way back to 2015. You're a mailroom supervisor in Denver, Colorado. Where were you in your cigar journey at that point? Had it started? Were you smoking?
I turned 18 in 2012. So that was when I first started smoking cigars. And I was a bad teenager. So anything you told me not to do, I would do. And my family was very anti-tobacco. So as soon as I could, back then you could smoke at 18. And I went to this little cigar shop that was like on its last legs, but I had no idea. And I tried a few cigars. The Camacho Liberty was one of my first cigars that I bought because I was like, this looks expensive. I'm going to buy this. Yes. And, you know, back then I didn't even know what I was doing. I was burning myself and smoking too fast. And then finally it just caught. And I went to college for a couple of years. And I really got into it, but I didn't have a ton of money to be buying cigars, you know? So I was doing the CI thing where you buy, you know, 65 cigars for $11 and they're all
like that CD club.
We all been there.
And then at the time there was this website that was doing, for some reason, they were doing reviews of Denver cigar lounges, which I was like, this has got to be the most niche web, because there's a handful of them total. And that was, they were called cigardojo.com. And I was like, why are you guys doing Denver cigar? And they're like, well, we live in Denver. So that's where I'm from originally. I went to college for a couple of years and I got a job at the state pension plan when I was 21. I was the mailroom manager at the state pension plan, which is exactly as exciting as it sounds. And I luckily met the guys at Cigar Dojo and they would let me do cigar reviews. So they would give me a cigar. I'm like, you're going to give me a cigar for free? All I got to do is tell you what I think. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. So I did that for a little while. I was doing cigar reviews. And then they would do a podcast much like this. And I would come, they would let me sit in the studio while they did it and hang out. And the story goes, so a friend of mine, Juan Cancel, of Protocol Cigar fame, when he was a police officer, would do every year he would do the Port Authority charity gala, something like that. And he did such a good job organizing that all these cigar personalities would show up. So this was probably around 2014, 2015. And Juan was like, hey, I'm going to get you everybody. So we thought we were going to have Carlito Fuente on the show and Jonathan Drew. And they made the poster. Eric made the poster. Had everybody, the whole, and it was literally called the Cavalcade of Stars. And it was going to be.
I love that.
Now, Juan didn't test the internet. So he goes, oh, there's one bar. We can't do anything. So we build up. This is going to be our biggest show ever. And Eric goes, dude, we're screwed. Do you want to just sit next to me and, you know, kind of get a little tipsy and just tell a bunch of jokes or something for 15 minutes? So I was the co-host, like the emergency fill-in co-host for this. And I was doing impressions of the different people. So he was interviewing me and Jonathan Drew. And I put on like five hats and was just, you know, trying to be edgy. And then after that, people were like, hey, Jack's not so bad on the show. Why doesn't he come back every once in a while? So I started to become kind of a fixture on the show, and we got to do these amazing, we got to go to trade shows. I got to go to Nicaragua. I got to go to Honduras. We can touch on that later. That's a rather infamous story. And then eventually I was like, you know what? I don't even know if or care if I make money, but I want to work in the cigar business, give it a shot. So, I was really good friends with the Alec Bradley, you know, crew. And I said, hey guys, do you guys have anything? They had a sales job available in California. So sales guy in California. And they said, hey, if you want to move out to California, we're going to give you a shot. So I did that for about a year. And that was very exciting. It's very difficult. Like sales reps, outside sales reps, I have the most respect for them. I mean, outside of any like first responder job, as far as like cigar jobs, it is so hard to do that.
So but you left out one of your jobs, and which I came across. What was you did a little stint at Higher Expectations. What is that?
My dad. Yeah. So after I left the pension plan, I was working with my dad. He's a recruiter. So my dad, my recruiter, and my dad's actual name is Peter. Our last name is pronounced Higher. So Peter I Higher.
I love that.
So I left the pension plan because I was taking too much PTO. So I was taking all, like, they were like, dude, you can't just take time off to go to, you know, the Great Smoke every year. And I was like, okay, I quit. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. So then I worked for my dad and I was kind of moonlighting. And then I was doing that for a while. And I just was like, you know what? I want to just do cigar stuff. That's it.
Okay. Okay, so now you're Alec Bradley out in Cal. Wasn't that Casey Aldudon?
He preceded me. So Casey was amazing. When I started out there, the first few days, which this is not common at all, he was like, "Hey, get in my car. I'm going to take you around. We're going to introduce you to all my, you know, best customers. And I'll kind of show you the ropes," which is not, that's not something that's really done, especially with like the previous guy. Usually the previous guy's in the wind. Right. So that was really cool of him to take me around and show me, you know, some of the shops in Southern California. And he was always cool. He would, you know, I'd text him, "Hey, what's this guy's deal?" He'd say, "Hey, this guy, you know, on Tuesday, see him at this time, you know, bring him some donuts or something. He's going to be in a bad mood." He'd give me the full rundown.
Now that's information that you need that you don't want. Yeah. You say like the previous rep, usually they get fired. So, you know, they don't take you around.
Fired or quit or it's very rare. I'm not going to say it's very rare, but usually if you leave a cigar company in a sales fashion, there's sometimes there's bad blood, but usually there's not like a, like, "Hey, I'll actively help you out." 'Cause you're probably working for a different cigar company by that time. So it's not like it's a pretty fraternal group, like everybody's really friendly with everybody. But to be able to actually go to cigar stores with the guy that worked before you is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
And get that nod, like, "Hey, this is my guy. This is Jack. He's taking over." You know, you deal with Jack like you deal with me. So
especially, I mean, like at least in my experience, it's like the 80-20 rule. You know, 20% of your accounts are going to do 80% of your business. Mm-hmm. So if you beat those guys already, it was a nice jump start. And we were talking about, you know, George Sosa before the show started. He was my first boss. And he was there for 1 month and then he traveled with me for a week. Now he was planning on retiring already, but he traveled with me for 1 week and retired the next Monday. So I was like, "George, was it that bad? I felt like we had something going." Like 20 years in the cigar business, 1 week with me and you're done. That's it. It's over.
You know, we had George on the show a long time ago. And we talked about my little brother's in the Navy. Our son is in the Army. And then we went to his grand opening at his Sarasota place like a year and a half later. First thing he asked, "Jessica, how's your son doing?" He goes, I keep him in my prayers. And I'm like, what?
Oh, that kind of guy.
That just blew me away.
At any time I've ever seen him, he always asks how he's doing. I love it.
Totally. So you joined Alec Bradley at the time of the Lars Teton's merger. Did you ever get to meet Lars, hang out with him?
Lars and I spent a ton of time together, actually. When I first started, my very first day at Alec Bradley. Now, I hadn't been, like, you know, I would not describe myself as a cigar industry historian, just because it's hard to like put into context like things that happened. Like, it's not like sports teams, you know, it's like there's not a lot of information on stuff that happened in the 90s. It's all kind of like old wives tales and that sort of stuff. So I started and they, you know, they bring me down there and one of the guys was like, "Hey, we had you sign an NDA, but we're going to have you sign a second NDA. I was like, "Dude, I didn't even read the first one. I'll sign whatever." Like, and they're like, "This is going to be massive. We got large teams." And I was like, well, you know, like it kind of felt like I like applied for a job and lied about my qualifications. I was like, "Whoa, and who is that?" and that Lars was at the office that day. And I mean, to describe Lars as an enigma would be selling it far short. It is like, like some of this, it was crazy because we, like, I would always be like, I'd be like, is he like, what part of this is like this incredible story, or like what part of this is like a yes. little bit raconteur-ish? And then he would be like, yeah, you know, it was when I was I'm dating Liv Tyler at the time. And you're like, all right, dude, that's bullshit. And then you look it up and there are like photographs of him and Liv Tyler in 1980, whatever, in, you know, in Greenwich or something like that. Or his neighbor. I met his neighbor and she was like, oh yeah, Liv was a real sweetheart. She'd come to dinner all the time. So you're like, okay, what, like, if that one's true, what is it? It was like nothing I've ever experienced, or nothing I'll ever experience again. He still texts me on every holiday. He'll send me a sweet graphic.
Lars.
Yeah.
We did a week together in Arizona, and it was crazy. I mean, it was actually crazy. We had some events, and just like the way his day-to-day life, he just kind of floats and does cool stuff, and like, if he wants to draw on, like, you know, a mural on the wall of something, he'll just kind of do that. And
so you were with him at Zeal Cigars then, because he did an interview with Brad.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. He gave the hat, right?
Yeah, the hat. Okay, that's right.
Yep. I was there. And Lars got me a cowboy hat. That's the cowboy hat I'm wearing in my famous.
Is that a Lars T-shirt?
He bought it for me. It was a gift, so he didn't make it. I wish.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah, but he's.
Have you tried any of his spices?
I love the cheesesteak one. Whoa.
Cheesesteak. Rage is really good too.
My aunt in Southern California at the time still asked me, hey, do you got any more of that Sabora? I have some still. He gave me a ton. But I have a good Lars anecdote. So I thought that his flight was at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and it was 10 p.m. on Saturday. And we'd spent 7 days together hitting accounts, doing events. So, like, we kind of fished the well pretty dry. And there were certain people where I was like, I don't know if it's worth it. And it's a Saturday, whatever. So I was like, what are we going to do to kill the day? It was right when the movie The Joker came out, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. I was like, I have to see. Like, I want to see Lars watching this movie. Because for me, he was kind of the Joker. Like, already, he was like the cigar Joker already.
I love it. Like,
I can't wait to see what he thinks of this. Because I thought that it was going to be this, like, incredible moment of, like, introspective. And we watch the whole movie, and he doesn't say a single word. And then afterwards, you know, the lights come on. I'm like, Lars, what did you think? He's like, yeah, pretty good movie. I liked it. I'm like, damn.
God, damn it. You know, I was expecting, you know, when I worked with Joaquin when he was younger, that's what we always joke, because he brings up, like, you know, like you said, like Liv Tyler, you know, like Care knows Lars way better than I do. But I always joke with Care, we're not going to find out, like, the depth of who Lars Teton is until his funeral. And then it's going to put like the queens to shame.
Yeah. 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 Like, a Saudi crown prince is there. And you're like, I remember he was FaceTiming his sister, and she was on like the 90th floor of a tower in like Singapore. And like the view behind her was like out of a movie. And I was like, I can't possibly
I love this.
Wrap my head around it. Because there'd be a lot of stuff. Yeah, like
you can fall down the Lars Teton's rabbit hole fast.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh. There's a lot there. There's a lot there.
It's like no person I've ever met or will meet in my entire life.
Super generous guy too.
Yeah, he is.
Super generous. He shirt off his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really would. So you weren't with Alec Bradley very long, and then
about a year. Yeah. So I was there, and I wasn't having a bad time by any means. But my opinion on life and, you know, work, I'm like, if there is a door open and there's something that I really want to do and it's available to me, I'm going to take it. So, at the time, a job at Drew State opened up doing social media stuff. And I'm like, come on, that is totally my wheelhouse. It's a brand I love. It's a job I'm suited to do. And I, you know, I'd known Joe Grow, Papa Joe, pretty well. So I said, hey, you know, not that I'm looking to leave, but what does the timeline look like on this? I was like, it might be too early for me to leave Alec Bradley. But I, you know, interviewed and everything went well. We all got along. And so they offered me the gig, and it was a raucous success. It was a ton of fun over there at Drew State. Nothing but nothing but positive things to say about my time there. We did some pretty amazing, cool stuff.
Oh yeah, because Joe hadn't been there very long either. He took over for Sam Morales, who went back to your neck of the wood.
Yeah, you
know, back to Colorado.
So Sam and I had been buddies. And Joe, I think Joe preceded me by about 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, was it that
yeah,
long?
It had been 2 years.
Oh, 2017 or 18. He and Anfon started around the same time. So Joe was all things digital and I was his understudy. And when it first started, we were just kind of doing this and that. And, when COVID happened, ironically enough, first of all, I was convinced I was going to be fired. I was like, one, nobody's going to ever buy a cigar again. The world's ending. So I went to Costco and I bought a 20-pound bag of rice. And I was like, okay, I can eat this and just collect enough check that if this all goes to shit, I can pack up my car and head back to Colorado. And then, you know, things kind of started and it was like, oh, 2 weeks went by, 3 weeks, and then like 4 or 5 weeks went by and they're like, oh, people are buying cigars. We're good. And then it was like, oh, wow, people are really buying cigars. So, but that time Drew Estate was doing these event campaigns and they had these really cool tins and, you know, these cigars and they're like, how are we going to do them? We're going to do digital events. And they're like, we should do a kickoff thing. And I will take no credit or like, you know, I was in the room where it happened. I was definitely not the, you know, sole idea or creator of Freestyle Live, but I was a part of that team. And they were like, well, who's going to host it? And I was like, yeah, Pedro, maybe. Or like, no, we want you to host it. I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I kind of call it failing upwards because I kind of just fell ass backwards into this incredible, like, industry changing super fun platform that we really rocked and rolled with for a while. And it's still going on to this day. It's still a great, you know, place for Drew Estate to launch their new cigars.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And obviously from there, everybody knows your Drew Estate, your time with Drew Estate. Yeah, yeah. But there's just a couple of questions. So I got three questions I want to ask you about your time at DE, and then we'll move on. Let's see. What is the one thing you're most proud of during your whole stint?
Well, I Freestyle Live like is my most business thing that I'm proud of. But I really like that I'm still. It's so close with everybody over there and we're still buddy buddies. And it doesn't feel like, you know, cause that's a big concern. It's a really small industry. Yeah. So in a normal life, like I changing jobs, you know, 2 times in 4 years, like my friends, that's something that is very common in my generation, people my age range, but in the cigar business, that's kind of a lot of, you know, movement. So you always want to make sure that everybody's still praying. I still text everybody a decent amount. So I'm just happy that everybody's still, you know, we're still buddy buddies and get along and all the Drew Estate fans and friends that I've made throughout the years, you know, we're still interfacing. So I'm proud that we are able to, you know, keep the good things going. That's nice. That feels nice.
It is nice. It's it's nice that I didn't have to not and just me as in like a consumer, a DE fan. Yeah. I didn't have to choose between Jack and DE. So
right. It was just like picking Drew Estate in that scenario, but they don't feel guilty, you know. Well, actually, another thing. I mean, the Blackened project. I worked so closely with the team. And like for the 6, 7, 8 months before Blackened was coming out, I mean, when I started, the idea was getting kicked around. So just for reference, it was almost 2.5, 3 years and kind of the genesis of that whole project. And it was really cool seeing, it was after I left, seeing the cover of Cigar Aficionado and being a part of that team. It is really cool seeing that sort of stuff. And I love seeing, you know, brands like that in the cigar shops that I'm visiting all the time. I think new cool stuff is better for the industry in general. So I don't see it as like a competition-y thing or anything like that. I think the more new, cool, innovative things that we can bring people into our industry, the better. That's amazing. If somebody likes Metallica and they smoke their first cigar and then they start going to a cigar shop because of it, amen. We need more of that.
That's it. I still think the secondary band on the foot was a dumb idea, but it should have been moved up. But that's just me. We're going to move on from there. I have made my voice known. They're not changing it now. You worked closely for JD for years. I mean, you guys were in the same office. What's one, maybe two things, but one thing that he taught you that you're going to take to your grave forever?
Yeah, JD was really, really good about like he didn't say it in just this way, but I saw the quote again in a show called Succession. Tom Wamsgans says, "We're not dietitians. We don't tell people what they want to eat." And JD just had this like knack for like, we're going to innovate, but within the space that people will still like it. Like, he's like, we don't want to make shit that people don't like. And we don't want to tell people, like, if people tell us, hey, we like this, we want to make that better or, you know, a different way. It's just kind of like this, hey, our customer's going to tell us what they want. And there is an aspect of that where we want to innovate and push them to try new and exciting things. But when you start making things that your customer base doesn't want, you've lost. So, yeah. I mean, and I will say when COVID started, I remember JD saying like, hey guys, I think we need to stop thinking about this. Like it's going to be a 2-week, 3-week, 4-week thing and think about it as a 2-year, 3-year thing and start making long-term permanent decisions now. And I was like, this guy is nuts. What are you talking about? And he was totally right. You know, like it was crazy.
All crazy. Right. Yeah, exactly. And my last one was, what are you going to miss, you know, or have already missed? But, it, you know, and I would assume, like, the camaraderie, but, you know, if you're still talking with anybody.
Free Herrera, Esteli, Habano, Lonsdales. That's what I'm most.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Barn Smokers too. I'm going to go to some Barn Smokers. If I have some time available, I see no qualms paying my ticket price, you know, and going. It's just so damn much fun.
Oh, they are an absolute blast. Like I said, we'll be doing our first one of the year. We haven't been able to travel this year, so we got Florida coming up. So it'd be super.
Yeah, that's in November.
Yeah, November. Yeah. So let's talk
about too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about so how did the new gig come? Because it was like fast. Like I mean, I remember I got an email from JD, and JD doesn't email any. You know, what is this?
So there just was a time where I was just kind of like, I had been doing what I was doing for a while and doing really well at it. And I just kind of felt like, all right, like I want to try the next thing. And at the time at Drew Estate, there was just a lot of people that had been there for a long time, you know? So I was like, I don't know if I want to wait out everybody from leaving. So I just kind of poked around and just reached out. And I, you know, my favorite cigar that was not Drew Estate was Davidoff by far. And Camacho, one of my favorite brands of all time. I just really like the energy of Camacho and just kind of like the, you know, dudes rock, whatever, like this is a good cigar, just smoke it attitude. So I just kind of was like, hey, again, it was like, I wasn't unhappy by any means, but like with my career and I just felt like I was ready to try the next thing. But at the time, you know, George Rami, who still works for Camacho, was the brand ambassador for Camacho and Avo for 10 years. He was pretty well stuck there. So I was like, you know, I'd always said my dream job was to be a brand ambassador at Davidoff. I was like, because that would be the sweetest thing ever. I'm like, I get the best cigars and I get to, you know, talk about them and travel all around. But I was like, I know this is probably not going to happen. So I just kind of sent some emails and actually a long period of time went by after I just said like, hey, I have cursory interest if anything ever happens. And at the end of last year, I had the opportunity, a good friend of mine is my current boss, Eddie Guerra. And he was like, hey man, nothing is in stone at all, but we might have this opportunity, this Camacho brand ambassador job. We call it a brand activation manager, which is a just jargony term for a brand ambassador. And he's like, if let's say hypothetically, this was ever to be available, hypothetically, would you be interested hypothetically? And I was like, yes, hypothetically, you know, cause it didn't feel like a real thing. And then just one day it was like, hey, we're doing it. You want in or not? And kind of during that time, a couple people had left Drew Estate also. So it kind of seemed like everything was correlated, but I had kind of kicked this domino a long time. And I just felt like it was, I don't know, you call it God, the universe, whatever. I just felt like it was just like this weird convergence of things. And I was like, this is awesome. I mean, what I do right now, I love so much. It's so fun. And I was like, it just kind of seems like everything's just falling into place. I'm going to I'm going to take a leap and I'm going to give it a go. And that was what I did. And I have had so stinking much fun this year. I really like, I mean, I love doing digital marketing stuff, but you're kind of behind the, you're behind the glass. So you're putting together a lot of the stuff, or we're doing podcasty type stuff, but I love going to cigar shops and, you know, actually hanging and being in and with and around the people and meeting retailers. So that's kind of how the genesis of everything. I mean, I famously, I don't know if you guys know this, and I'll tell the story in a little bit, but I famously have a Camacho tattoo. So that also was a bit of a like, hey, this will be a little less hilarious now. I mean, it's still pretty funny, but it'll at least be like, oh, okay. The Camacho guy has a Camacho tattoo, not the four companies I had worked for with a Camacho tattoo. So yeah, everything kind of came together. And I have just loved everybody that I work with at Davidoff. It is just a terrific company, full of terrific people that really know their stuff. And the tobacco and the, you know, the factories and everything are on another level. It's unreal. So,
you know, now coming from a company like Drew Estate, you know, they're open. You're allowed to, you know, say what you want online. Yeah. Will McFall, I'm talking about you. Yeah. And then you're going to Davidoff, you know, which is Davidoff, you know, was there like at that initial meeting, hey, you know, we're down, you know, did you feel like a little bit of, you know, I don't know, like hesitation?
It's kind of nice because like I have a counterpart, which you guys should have on the show at some point. Alex Weghorn is the Davidoff brand ambassador.
Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely get
it. We have our own brands. So he does Davidoff. I do Camacho, and then we have another guy coincidentally named Alex, who is doing all of our AVO activations events this year, experiences. We use a lot of the more jargony or sophisticated the word sounds, just the more important you feel saying it. That's why you got to kind of zhuzh it up a little bit. So what's nice is that the transition from like the wardrobe I wear at Drew Estate to the wardrobe I wear at Camacho, very similar. So it was not the total culture shock. Now, Davidoff is a global company. So we have, you know, branches on a tree. There's Davidoff Asia, there's Davidoff Europe, there's Davidoff of America, you know, and that's, we're in that branch of the tree. So a lot of the times you got to think about, you know, we have rules and regulations on the US side. There's those same rules and regulations, you know, there's 100 other countries that you kind of have to be cognizant of. So we have some stuff that's a little bit different, but like in my day-to-day life, you know, Camacho is a beer drinking, cursing, armpit farting, you know, son of a gun, dirt mud, have a barbecue and a fist fight kind of brand. So luckily it is not like I am have to be all that classy, which I don't think that I would be suited for having to be all that class. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can wear my, I have a wedding suit that can be a funeral suit. That's it. That's the one suit. I have the one suit that fits. And as soon as it doesn't fit, I'll have the new suit that fits. So I think that I could become, you know, full, I could go full Davidoff, but I'd have to like go to Cotillion or like etiquette classes, you know.
Because at DE or Ringo, he worked with Zeno for a long, so he went back the other way, you know. He went,
South Florida rep for Drew Estate now, who her first day was my last day. Grace was a Davidoff employee for some time. So it's look, the Davidoff sales force, when they are going to an account visit, they're wearing a suit, but they're representing Davidoff, which is a super premium luxury brand where, you know, it is all the stops and everything is to the nth degree. So you'd look kind of silly if you were selling Davidoff and you showed up in your, you know, Camp Camacho shirt with your backwards hat. But if I show up to an event, if you're at a Camacho event, it's t-shirt and jeans and, you know, we're having a good time, and, you know, revving up motorcycles and doing all that sort of stuff. So it was not too much of a culture shock. Luckily I say that I have the best job in the world because I get to go around and have these amazing events and eat barbecue and just talk to people about cigars. And it's not I'm not talking at people about cigars. It's a conversation about, you know, this awesome company that I am lucky enough to represent.
Right on. Now, you were talking before the show started, you're going to be relocating. Cause so you're still in Miami right now.
Yeah. So when I got the gig, it is travel heavy. So I'm about once a week, I'm flying out to somewhere to do events. I put out like a little, like my schedule for the year, and kind of, I felt like I was in a band or something, because it was like, you know, Jack Heyer to off the grid dates. And it's like, you know, the 21st, that's for Alabama. And I was like, okay, this feels a little silly because I'm not that important. It's not like people are like, oh shit, I'll mark my calendar. But at the time it was like, hey, do you live close to an airport? Yes. And then it's like, hey, we're going to need you to, when you can, make your way over. So my girlfriend and I will be moving, or my fiance, and I will be moving at the, you know, whenever we can, but she had to get a new job. It was a whole thing. And I was like, I'm so busy, I have to find a stretch of like a 5 days where I can move. So I'm relocating. I say that I live in like the American Airlines terminal of the Miami airport right now, but I live in Miami for the time being.
And then where exactly is the Davidoff headquarters?
It's in Pinellas Park. And they're doing some nice renovations. We got a nice smoking lounge. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. So if I'm not, I didn't say that. It's cool. And it's nice. It's just nice being able to smoke and talk to the brain trust about, you know, what's going on, and getting the different, you know, funny stories from, you know, yesteryear. It's just the best.
So what was that? So I mean, I got the email that you had left. You're starting at Camacho, or I read that, and then like the next day you were at an event or something, and I'm like, what is going on here? So what was like the training like? Was there any training, or just like
So for the start time at Camacho, it was funny because I literally, my last day at Drew State was the 20th, and then my first day at Camacho was the 21st. So it was just kind of like, it was like they handed me off, like, here's Jack, here you go. but it was great because they actually gave me, I had a cool event. It was called the Gladesman, and it was a flat track motorcycle race in the middle of the Everglades.
Oh, wow.
And it was just the most dirt, and just like, I was just manly as hell. But I started at the end of February. My first event in earnest or experience was in Biloxi, Mississippi. You always remember your first. But I had like 2 months.
Okay.
So they were like, hey, you know, just get to know the brand, smoke everything, and get your travel schedule and everything figured out. So it was actually a decent amount of time to decompress, gear up. And then I've kind of been on the road ever since. So, and it's nice. I mean, we just added a core line, but the Camacho portfolio as it's currently constructed is really just built to be easily understood and incredibly approachable. So Davidoff, for instance, has a ton of different SKUs and a lot of history. Not that Camacho doesn't have a rich history, but that training program is a lot more intense. You know, to learn all of the Davidoff SKUs. You walk into an appointed merchant and you see the full. It's a little.
And they all look the same. Yeah. You know, not all of them, but Davidoff, like, what's the difference between this one? Well, that one's a Tubo. Well, what comes in a.
There is. Now, I will say I'm educated in the ways of Davidoff now. And it is incredible. It's like what I say with the Davidoff portfolio, if people aren't familiar with it. And now this is not like corporate mandated from on high. This is just a Jackism. This is what I'm talking. When I'm in Jasper, Alabama this week, this is what I'll use for my. I say that a Camacho is like rock and roll. It's, you get it. It doesn't take a lot of explaining. You could just hear a rock and roll song and be like, oh, I understand this. Yeah. Avo, we own Avo. Avo is like jazz music, you know. There are some hits. Of course, everybody's heard of certain ones of them, but there is a little bit more of a barrier of entry. There's more nuance. There's more things to understand. There's, you know, if I went to a jazz club, I don't know that I would fully get everything that was going on there, you know. And then
if you get it, maybe you wouldn't appreciate it
until you really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Davidoff is classical music. It is timeless. If you're listening to a commercial in 200 years, you'll still hear the same thing that was, and it's so sophisticated and nuanced, and like the people that know really know. And it's like, some people I don't maybe understand it or get it, or they look at it and they go, I don't understand. You're paying, it seems like a lot of money, and you're going, what's so different about this than any other stuff? That's, but if you understand it, you know, it is like, I almost cried on my like third day. I was smoking a Royal, like old Royal release. And I was like, I think that this is the best cigar I've ever smoked. And I was just sitting in a, on a couch, you know, in an office in Pinellas Park. So usually if I think a cigar is my favorite cigar ever, it's because I'm doing something really cool. So I'm like, you know, I'm smoking like a, I was going to say just any regular brand. We'll call it a Cusano. I'm smoking a Cusano and I'm at, you know, the rooftop of the Palms at a party. And I'm like, wow, this is the best cigar ever. But I, you know, it's a special cigar to kind of floor you when you're like doing nothing special.
Yeah.
And I wish I had it because I just sold it a couple weeks ago. So I found an original Avo. It was their anniversary piano humidor.
Oh, yeah.
All the original packaging, all the original boxes filled with the original cigars.
Oh, wow.
And it was beautiful. I sent a picture of that humidor with this to Jeff Borschwitz, Corona Cigar. And I go, when's the last time? Because he's a huge Avo fan. When's the last time you've seen one of these? He goes, I have one sitting on Avo's piano that's in my living room. So he has Avo's piano. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Yeah, I tried to one up him, and he two upped me.
You know, it's interesting though about the Davidoffs, because I didn't really know too much about Davidoff, and then like I'm learning a lot about like different ones, because there are men that come in there and they will educate you about Davidoff, and they are not shy to say why they, you know, like and stuff. But everyone always gravitates to the late hour at our shop. That's
a super popular.
Yeah,
it's got a little bit more meat to it. You know, there's some barrel aging components.
Yeah, people,
that is a crowd favorite for sure.
Yeah,
and how much of the history did you know of Camacho? Did you know there was a Camacho, Simon Camacho?
Yeah. So I mean, previous to working for Camacho, I knew that they had been around for a long time. And then I mostly my knowledge of it started with the Aroa family.
Okay.
So yeah. I think that's kind of where a lot of people start, is the Aroas in the 90s. And you know, what they did for the brand, and really the Honduran element that we still, you know, hold near and dear to us to this day. But yeah, in the 60s, Simon Camacho, I don't know if it's, I got to be honest, just because my Spanish is terrible. I don't know if it's Simon or Simon, but I'm going to say Simon just because that's how I pronounce it.
Yeah.
just that's full transparency, but he was making the cigars in Miami. So that was where the genesis of the company was. And then the Aroa family, obviously Christian, comes around and in the 90s brings a lot of everything to Honduras. And that's where the brand, you know, really caught fire. Some of the, you know, stuff that I'll see, people will have the, you know, old school post or pre-embargo and all of these old classic, amazing Camachos. And that triple Maduro, the Corojo, that still to this day, you know, people talk about, love the brand, the blends. And then when Davidoff purchased Camacho 2008, and then in 2013 was when we did the big rebrand. So it you do get a lot of this where when the bands change, people inherently and automatically assume that everything has changed completely. So I'll get that a lot. You know,
that was one of my questions. You know, you guys haven't been the same since you know.
Yeah. And so Dylan Austin, who's the our president on the America side, he was for a long time the Camacho brand. I almost said brand ambassador, but he was a brand manager. And, you know, when they went through that process, it was kind of to just make everything more understandable. And it was to transform Camacho and make the story not just, it's not another Cuban-esque cigar company where it's like, this tastes like Cuba. This tastes similar to Cuba. Instead of making it another company that just is a Cuban-esque flavor profile, it's making it more a statement on the brand and the kind of guy that smokes Camacho. And for me, Camacho is like, hey, One, we're owned by Davidoff. We have incredible facilities and farms. So you know that the quality is there and the consistency is there. So if you take that part out of the equation, it's like, hey, man, you don't need to, like, this cigar is an incredible cigar. And you don't, like, we'll tell you all about every blend, all the farms, everything you need to know. But it is the ultimate, like, try this. You're going to like it. And the thing that I get, the genius of the change of the bands is that I get a lot now. I really like the blue one. And you'll see people that will be like, oh, I like the blue one. I like the red one. And I think that it just reaches a lot more people in different areas. And it's, for us, it is a, first of all, good price point. And it gets people into the, you know, our universe. And it's so approachable. It's just like, hey, we run the gamut of different flavor profiles. And, you know, our tagline, we've had many, but, you know, live loud. It's just like this bold flavor, like, kick you in the face, but you're going to like it and just keep coming back for it.
I'm going to get back to the colors in a second. Kara, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Jack had mentioned a word that I am getting a little tired of hearing. Not from Cubanesque. This is very Cubanesque. Are you getting tired of hearing that? You know, from these companies when they come out with a new cigar.
Yeah, I think it's just trying to find something new to say about something that's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like boutique cigars, and the next thing you know, the bigger companies are like, this is the boutique batch and this is boutique. So Cuban-esque is I guess they're trying to invoke the flavor and the historical quality of said cigar, but I just kind of chuckle anymore when I hear that stuff.
Do people really understand what Cuban cigars really are? Like the definition cigar and like the fact that it was like based off of their purity, which they haven't had probably for a long, long time. I mean, I just think people don't realize because
when I hear, this is a very Cuban-esque cigar. Oh, so it sucks. Okay.
Well, no, but
thank you for telling
that.
Me that ahead of time.
But I just don't think people realize like, you're not having that same experience that your grandfather
might have. Now it's just a name.
Yeah.
It's invoking the Cuban-esque name because of the quality now. But I also think, to your point, is like most of the Cubans I smoked that were Cubans, they're not a very strong cigar. They're very well constructed. You know, they're kind of, they got decent flavor to them. But all in all, you know, if you're going to reference Cuban-esque, you know, I'm always going to expect a rather mild cigar flavor, but if you're gonna invoke Cuban-esque as in quality QC, you know, the original QC, you know, construction, all that stuff, then that's a completely different story.
Sure.
Yeah, I see the flavor profile. I always describe you know, the Herrera Habano as Cuban-esque, just because I don't know, when I smoked Cuban cigars, like I don't track them down as much as I used to try to, but I don't have as good of a reason to. I felt like I got a lot of like cedar, woody, oaky, nutty kind of things. So I give credence to that.
If I'm going to smoke a Cuban-esque cigar, I'll buy a, you know, what's his name up there in McLean, Virginia? Paul Gabarian. I'll smoke one of his cigars. You know, that's less expensive. It's a freaking incredible cigar. And it's going to give me that old school flavor.
Exactly. So we'll get back to the colors. I just finished up a Camacho Candela, the green.
Ooh.
You're a Candela guy. Yeah, so that's a
fantastic cigar, man.
Your thoughts? To be honest with you, I need to track some down because I have never smoked one, and that is universally say one of the best Candelas.
It's up there.
I would say it's consistently in the top two. Like it's, you know, like right now I smoke I just finished that Candela and it's the best Candela I've had in a year. You know, it's just mine, but it's also 5 years old, you know, so it's got a little bit of age to it, but it's still got that grassiness. Do you guys still make the Candela? Cause I'm not seeing it.
We don't, but I will make it my mission. We'll see if I have any punching power because I've heard it so far and wide. I want to try to see if we can, you know, reintroduce that because people love it to death.
Yeah, people I was shocked. I was shocked when I had a Caitlin when I went over to their cigar shop. She knows that I'm a Candela guy too, over in Simpsonville. She's like, "Oh, I have something for you," and I was like, "God dang, this Candela is good. It's not too bitter. It just has a little bit, grassiness, like Kevin said, but just great flavor."
It's fantastic. And you know, like I said, when I was doing like some show notes, I was looking around because I'm getting low on them and I couldn't find them anywhere. And I'm like, I wonder if they still make this. And it's, I mean, I don't know. It's fantastic. So if you start working on it now, so today it is, or actually yesterday was halfway to St. Patrick's Day. So so we can have them back out.
I can promise you it won't be by St. Patrick's
Day. Well, as we know, Candela does not take as long to ferment. So you can get it done by...
That explains why they're not good.
People just don't like the grassiness, but I don't know what
it's,
you know,
the bitterness
Camacho does. It's just not there.
He hasn't installed that ejector seat yet, Jessica.
But now I have switched over to, and I don't know which one this is. So when I first started smoking, like I said, and I think you had clicked off. Or when we were talking prior to having you on screen there, that, you know, the Camacho Criollo was my first premium cigar ever that I ever smoked. You know, the first box of cigars I ever. And it was from a Thompson cigar. It was one of their, you know, I was getting some of their deals, and one of them had like a Camacho Criollo in it. And then I loved it. And I was buying boxes for years. And then going into my local lounges, you see all the other ones, I love the box. They're color coded. They got the strength indicator on them, going from, you know, brilliant. the orange from the Connecticut, the yellow, the Criollo. And then I like the blue. I know that it's Ecuador. I love this red. I don't know what the red is though.
That's the Corojo.
Is that the Corojo? Okay. Yep. I couldn't remember. I that's how I liked it. I could go in there and I'm like, I know I don't like the yellow because it's the orange, the Connecticut, just too light for me. Yeah. I love that yellow. I smoke the blue on occasion. I love that red, you know, and that's what I loved about Camacho.
I remember what you used to make. You used to make the clocks out of the Camacho box.
Yeah, I used to make clocks and sell them on Etsy out of all the Camacho boxes.
I mean, he did stuff with fans too, but I remember the boxes because
their boxes are the most beautiful.
The boxes are awful. Yeah.
Highly nice boxes. Boxes.
The lacquer. You
know? It was cool. He'd buy like these really cool clock hands and the like kit and do this whole thing. It was awesome.
Yeah, had little hooks inside to hang your cutters and lighters. Because the box opened up. So
it
was like
you could use it for other, you know, as a clock, and then open it and put your cutters and it was cool.
I should make some more of
those. I know.
But I love it. I love that whole branding, like, because I'm like I think my generation of like, because I've only been smoking like professionally for like 10 years. I don't remember, you know, that's what I say, professionally. I don't remember
professional smoker. I'm not
doing pre-Davidoff Camacho. I have had some. Care has sent me some. People have sent me some in the past. But at that point, I mean, they're 15 years old. You know,
yeah, it's just a little jump into them, but it is hard. It is hard to compare eras. And I'm in the same boat where it's kind of like, well, you know, the company was sold before I could even smoke cigars legally. So it's like I can't be an authority on what it used to taste like. I can tell you that our quality control and the caliber of tobaccos and cigars that we're putting out right now, I've been told is the best that it's ever been. I believe it. I mean, it's just kind of hard to compare and contrast. And then it's also kind of like, do you really remember what something tasted like 15 years ago? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Odds are that the tobacco, you know, and the production and everything has probably gotten a lot more sophisticated now. And we've been doing it a heck of a lot longer at a higher clip, but you know, it's what I get a lot of is, and that's what my job is literally, is people say, man, you know, I haven't smoked the Camacho in a little while. This is amazing. You know, it's back in my rotation. And it was just such a big brand for a long time that I think that it, just like anything, you know, stuff gets out of your rotation. And it's my job to try to go out and, you know, reintroduce some stuff. So the line, you know, when you were talking about the different colors, it's kind of nice because it is just color coded. And I say it's color coded on strength. Now, there is some internal dialogue on what the order of strength is, but it cannot be debated. Connecticut is the most the lightest, and that's kind of that burnt orange. Connecticut's our best seller because it is for a Connecticut, it's a little bit stronger, so it's not the most mild Connecticut ever. But if you like Connecticut, you like it. And if you don't really like Connecticut, it's still got just enough to get you where you need to be. So that's Connecticut most approachable. And then Triple Maduro is the strongest. And that's one of the kind of hallmark Camacho brands. Camacho is one of the first companies. I'm not going to say they were the first company because I don't know.
You know where the Triple Maduro came from, right? The story of that. Abe DeBabna, Smoke In. He came up with the Triple Maduro.
No, I didn't know that.
He approached Christian Arroa, about the cigar Triple Maduro, and Christian thought it was a dumb idea, and but Abe convinced him to make the Triple Maduro, and it was a runaway success. Abe got, and Abe had said this on my show, so I'm not saying anything out of place. But yeah, so then he got residuals on that. And then when Davidoff bought Camacho, they had to give Abe a payout, to take full reins of the Triple Maduro. So it was Abe DeBabna at Smoke Inn, and it had never been done before.
What has Abe not done? He's done everything.
Yeah, that's true. There's a question.
Any chance you will bring back the barrel age cigars? You haven't gotten rid of the barrel age, have you? That's right.
American and the Nicaraguan barrel aged. They were like regular releases, but they were like limited releases. So those were discontinued, and it was just a kind of a convergence of factors. It wasn't necessarily popular globally, and then also there were some there's difficulties keeping barrels in stock, and we could only make so many. So I'll talk about it a little bit later, but we did release a new brand, the Camacho Broadleaf, which kind of is a very similar taste profile. It's just missing that barrel aged component of like the American barrel aged or the Nicaraguan barrel aged. And it's just something that it's around and we're going to have it in perpetuity. It's a core line. So we got a lot of it's hard to make a limited line where regionally it was super popular, but it wasn't necessarily everywhere. So you kind of got to pick and choose. And when we'd done it for a few years, it was just kind of like, all right, this is the time to set it back down for a little bit. Not saying we'll never release the American or Nicaraguan barrel aged or even some sort of barrel aged cigar in the future. In fact, I'd be surprised if we don't release something barrel aged in the future. But it was just kind of like, all right, for the time being, we're going to focus on our core lines and stuff that people can have. We got, you release a lot of limited editions, and then sometimes people kind of forget about your core line. So,
yeah, like the like the one Jesco smoking, the Hard Charger, the Czech Six. You had a couple of military.
The Brotherhood series, which is all about our first responders and military. Mm-hmm. Those were really successful too. I mean, there's a lot of areas where those went gangbusters, but it's just kind of like this year we kind of narrowed down the portfolio. So currently our core lines are Connecticut, which that's the orange one, Ecuadorian wrapper. It's a little sweeter, I think. Broadleaf sits right in the middle. So that just came out this month. Nicaragua, Corojo, Triple Maduro, and then the Factory Unleashed for this year is our limited edition. Yeah. So we're kind of focusing back in on the bread and butter, and then in the future we'll redo some cool limited edition stuff.
Now are you still doing, because I smoked this one I think it was yesterday, the box press
the box press Ecuador is my personal favorite now.
It was amazing.
That's my daily driver. I say it's like sessionable. Not that I can't smoke six of any cigars in a day, but I feel like if I smoke six Corojos or six Triple Maduros, the sixth one would kind of be useless from a flavor standpoint. I'm not really going to be able to tell you what I'm smoking, but I'm not a beer guy anymore, but in my beer guy phase, the Session IPA was one of my favorites because it's like a lower ABV. It's like 4%, and you can have a few of them without, really paying the price. That's for me, that's the Ecuador. So if I'm at an event, I'll smoke, a few of those, put a few of those down and be no worse for wear.
Now all these different, the blends, since you're part of the Davidoff portfolio, does Camacho have their own factories and blenders? I know you said like the team, like you're on your own team, and I never understood like
that. Davidoff and Avo factories are in the Dominican Republic, and a good majority of the tobacco in both of those brands is Dominican. But Camacho is and has always been and will always be a Honduran company. So we have a pretty stunning, you know, state-of-the-art factory in Don Lee, Honduras, which I've had the pleasure of visiting, and I'll be leading our tours next year down to the factory, of which there will not be a ton, but in Honduras, just the unique flavor profile that we get, the Hamastron Valley and the tobaccos coming out of Honduras, is just core to what Camacho is. And that Corojo leaf, the Camacho Corojo, and that leaf and that seed is pretty much the brand. You know, it is that Corojo leaf. Pretty much every blend we have features the Corojo in some capacity. And you know, it's like the secret sauce, you know, it's like if Camacho was a restaurant, Corojo would be on the menu with the big star and that's what Guy Fieri, well, that's a bad example. Yeah. Robert Irvine would be eating when he came and visited our restaurants, you know, his tour. I can't believe I said Guy Fieri in a cigar conversation. Come on. But that Corojo and that factory, and we own farms in Honduras also, but that's what we are is Honduras.
All right. And now you said you'll be leading tours. Is that Camp Camacho?
That's Camp Camacho. So I got the tea on right now.
Okay. Oh, so when I was on the Camacho, we talked about this before. I was looking for the Camacho website. Couldn't find it. So I was on your Instagram and maybe I'm like, oh, maybe the Instagram will take me over to it. But the Instagram takes you to like a Camp Camacho sign up. And then it says like in 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get something. Like when people go to your Instagram, what do they get?
So we have a really cool kind of like it's in partnership with Cigar Dojo and their mobile app, the Dojoverse. We kind of have a separate, it's like a VIP area, the Camp Camacho area where it's just Camacho cigars and there's different badges and stuff you can earn there. So it's for our biggest fans. That's the digital aspect. And then when we do our factory tours, that is called Camp Camacho. So we have a state-of-the-art guest house, which, you know, when people come down, they do tours. That is Camp Camacho. And then we also have a digital property where people can come visit and, you know, they tag what they're smoking, they rate what they're smoking, that sort of thing. But it's in partnership with the Cigar Dojo.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
great. So when you have the, so how do people sign up for the actual Camp Camacho tours? And then what does that entail when they do?
Yeah. So this year we're finalizing what the invite process will be next year. We know dates and times and everything like that, but we're just deciding what the format will look like. So I'm still not sure who will get the invite, if we'll open it up to the public. Traditionally we take retailers and their shops. So if you have a big cigar shop or if you have a big Camacho shop, we usually reward our best customers or that sort of thing. But we're deciding what that process will look like for next year. So it's who's going, not totally solidified yet, but we'll publish information when details are available.
Okay. Media personalities, I'm sure. Yeah, you know, things like that.
Yes. Yeah. Beards.
It's full throttle, man. I got the pleasure of going in 2017 or 2018. That's kind of how I ended up with this job in a roundabout way.
That's going to be my next question. You know, like I said, leading up to, I know the story, like I kind of know the story, you know, I've heard it, you know, piecemeal. You ever been laying in bed at night with your shirt off and your wife gets freaked out over the scorpion tattoo on your back? I mean,
So to set the scene, and I actually, it's the story, it's received very differently depending on the audience. I was at an event and I told people the story and I was expecting, you know, sometimes you get just the raucous laughs and everybody was just kind of like, ew, dude, that's so weird. But I was with Cigar Dojo and this was 2017, 18. I can find the exact date. But Camacho was gracious enough, and they said, hey, guys, we are starting our – we're opening up Camp Camacho. It's this amazing guest tour, and we kind of want you guys to beta test it for us. We haven't really had a full group come down and do the full tour. So do you guys want to do it? And we said, shit, yeah, hell yeah. So we go down, and there's the crew was down there. So we had there's four Camacho Davidoff employees, and there's four of us, and then our tour guides. And, you know, it was a blast. But we got after it hard. So the first night, you know, I was maybe overserved by myself. And I kind of set myself up for failure where I was like, I'll get the Camacho tattoo. I'll get the Camacho logo tattooed. And then I wake up the next day, you know, a little foggy, going to breakfast, you know, a little groggy, maybe not 100% clear about verbal contracts I had signed the night before. They're like, hey, man, you remember last night you said you were going to get the logo tattooed on you? You're not going to do that, are you? And I, you know, I'm kind of stupid. And I also am not a stranger to a dare, or like, you know, if like you're going to tell me I'm not going to do something. And at that time, I had nothing to lose. I was like, who cares? Yeah. So I was like, I'll do it. I was like, but I have some rules. I was like, you guys have to pay for it. I want like a shit ton of cigars and swag. And then first class plane ticket. First class. Oh, nice. They're like, instantly, deal. I was like, uh-oh, okay.
Yeah.
Expecting there to be like a phone call. Like, you know, we have to call somebody. They're like, no, yeah, we found the guy. He's going to be here tomorrow. I'm like, okay, yeah, for sure. So, you know, we were actually doing a live stream down there, and then a guy walks in with a top hat. He looked kind of like T-Pain, like a Honduran T-Pain. And he was like, all right, I got the logo. He printed it out. And he was like, which one? So there was one of the logos was like offensively small. I was like, if you're going to do it, it was like a postage stamp. I was like, you're going to do it. You got to do it. You know, I'm not going to. And then there was one that was like a full back piece. And I was like, okay, that feels like overcommitting. So, you know, I'm gearing up to do it. And I was like, he's like, where do you want it? I was like, you know, the right answer is like shoulder, like chest or arm. I was like, but the absolute funniest would be a trans.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, dude, don't do it. I was like, no, I'm good. And I called my mom, not to ask permission, but more forgiveness. Like, hey, mom.
Yeah.
My bad. And I did it. And I got I to this day still have a Camacho Scorpion tramp stamp. I see it's like a reverse bell curve. It like slowly is getting less and less funny. And the more like that, but eventually we're going to like hit like, you know, and it's just going to be the funniest thing ever. So you want to see it? I'd be
yes,
happy to.
Yes.
It's still there. It is.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
At least it's a cool scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, it is the logo. It was done properly. And you know,
it's actually a lot smaller than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah,
I
thought
it was
higher than I thought. It could have been a little bit lower. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's kind of a true tramp stamp. It's like a mid-back. Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about adding an addition, you know, putting a hot tub back there, making things a little bit more comfortable. Maybe a scorpet, you know, for my fiance. Yeah.
Have it smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
You get me down to Camp Camacho, and I'll get the logo that's on your T-shirt, the full logo tattooed on me.
All right, perfect.
Camp Camacho. I have a perfect spot on my leg, so where people always see it.
Excellent. Well,
I mean, Jessica will get it. Jessica will get it.
No, that's okay. Kevin, his would just blend. No one would even notice it, probably, though.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it has been very funny. And I'm the only person that's gotten a tramp stamp, and it's been a like positive career move.
Yeah, not a lot of industries where that gets you in the door.
You know, you have the J.C. Newman ashtray. I will say, when I was with Cigar Dojo, I had the tattoo. And we went down to Tampa and we were visiting with them, and their marketing team is great. And they were like, look, we want to talk about ads. We want to talk about physical, personal ads on Jack. What is that going to look like? Like, what is the running cost? And I was like, I was almost getting into like the personal ad space where I was going to have like a Yagua neck tattoo. And
oh, that would be good. Yagua on the side of the neck.
Yeah, different packages get you different, you know, things. It's an interesting.
Yeah, too bad you.
But to promote it though is shopping for half shirts. Is that a bitch?
Well, you know, finding a jacket that has just a clear patch cut out right there.
Got to go to that 80s throwback store for all the half shirts. Well,
when I was getting it, I was like, hey, you know, I lived in Denver. I'm not in all that great a shape. I was like, I take my shirt off like 4 times a year. So I'll just be like funny, you know, those times. And then I moved down to South Florida where it's just hot all the time. And I'm always at a pool or a beach or something. A little less.
Oh, because is that your only tattoo?
No. So I have a cross tattoo, a Jerusalem cross on my breast. Yeah. And then I started what is called Operation Beer Fridge, which I just got a bunch of random tattoos. I have a bunch of random tattoos on my back.
My back is a beer fridge. Yeah.
Yeah. So then now it just looks like I kind of ran out of space and there happens to be a scorpion there.
That magnet slid down the refrigerator.
But that's my back as well. It's just random shit that, you know, because it's like, you know, my sleeves are pretty matching my legs and it's like, let's just make the back, you know. I love that term though, the beer fridge spot. So I love that.
That's what I did. I was like, I got it. And this was before, you know, my wonderful fiance and I met. I was like, it was getting a little weird having to explain, you know, like the cigar industry to somebody that has no idea. And like, it's funny. It's not weird. So I was like, if I just, you know, I'll just have a bunch down there and I'll be like, oh, this was some crazy time. And then people, when I tell them about it, they're like, oh man, what were you, 18? I was like, I was 26.
So have you ever been out with like, with your wife or anywhere and like, because you're well known, like you can't, you know, I don't know. And people come up to you, I'm like, oh my God, Jack. And then people are like, do they know you? I have no idea who that is.
It is kind of funny where if I'm with a group of people or if I'm like at a cigar shop, odds are somebody at the event will know that I have a terrible scorpion. Well, it's a good scorpion tramp stamp. But like sometimes the owner of the shop won't know and he'll be like, what is he talking about? And then I'll have to like try to professionally tell that story and be like, yeah, so I'm kind of stupid. And if you dare me to do something, I'll probably do it. But trust us, you know, this is a great business relationship. You know, it was a different time. So that's always fun. I'll have to like try to.
It's brand loyalty.
Imagine, you know, I was working for Drew Estate for 3 years with this thing back there. So that was a little more awkward.
Yeah.
You mentioned your cross, and I remember seeing a picture of you online, and I forgot to write it down, but you brought that up. You were you had like some robes on. Are you like a pastor? What was that about?
So it's purely coincidence. So the Jerusalem cross is like a crusader's cross, but I was in a church group that was their logo. So when I was 18, I was like, this is cool, slapping it on my chest. And when my sister got married, she wanted me to officiate. And one of my best friends, his mom is a Presbyterian minister for 30 years. And I was like, hey, it's called a stole. I want the thing. And I was like, do you have any? She's like, oh, I have a whole collection. So I went and leafed through her stoles, they're called. And she had one that had the tattoo that I have on my boob. I was like,
get out.
Yeah.
Well, this is perfect. Yeah. So I went online, you know, I'm a online marriage minister. So I bless this podcast thoroughly.
How long did it take you to become?
It was like 11 minutes and it was just to pay for shipping for the thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Awesome. $25. It's scary easy to be able to do that.
Can you notarize stuff?
No, but I could fake it. Whatever. Well, you need something to make my way off.
I know there's like certain packages, like some people are able
to. He's got a scorpion stamp,
That's actually amazing, and I'm going to do that now. Get my notary degree and just have it be like a flaming scorpion brand.
Yeah,
I can marry you, and I can notarize your paperwork for your automobile.
Yeah. Well, I want to do temporary tattoos at our events here to see, you know, like if other people want to get just test out the Scorp stamp.
That's awesome.
That's it. Just get like the really good ones that don't wash off for like a month, and then people are like, they got to go back. It's like on a Saturday event. They got to go back to work on Monday. And they're like, Jack, this thing's not coming off. Jack, I work in an office.
I was trying to for a little while. I was trying to have my friends call me the Scorpion King, and they're like, "That's the coolest nickname ever. You're a dork. Like, we're not calling you that."
We're not calling you Scorpion King. You keep calling yourself that, and your friends are like, "Not happening, man. Not happening." Yeah. Keep saying it.
You can't give yourself the nickname. I was like, "But what if? I mean, if you guys started just calling me that, that'd be crazy, though, right?"
Yeah. I remember years ago, and I'm still in the automotive industry, but there was a parts store and they had two Jareds working there, and it just bothered me to no end. And if, like, you never tell them. So I finally started calling the one Fat Jared, Skinny Jared. Fat Jared wasn't too fat. I mean, he was like 5'1", maybe 220. So he's a little fat. And so you could, after a while, you know, it's like, hey, Fat Jared, you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't like that. So we called him FJ, you know, FJ, you know, Fat Jared, and that name, and it stuck. And it was like,
and people were like, what is that stand for?
15 years later, like I said, I'm a bartender managing a bar. A lady walks, start talking with her. And then I knew her son, you know, and then I said, Jared, you know, he works in the automotive industry. I'm like, oh, FJ. And she goes, I really wish people would stop calling that. I'm like, I coined that. And she goes, thank you. Thank you very much for, and I'm like, but yeah,
his mom. You like took pride in that to his mom.
To this day, he's like, this has been 25 years now. People still kind of call him FJ.
So, yeah. You're doing a victory lap with his mom?
Yeah. But like, Kara, I mean, you come from a football background. I mean, you had to earn your nickname, right? Did you have a nickname, Kara?
Wait, my last name's Horny. It just kind of comes out.
that is, yeah.
Nobody knew my first name, I think until my senior year. So it was always Horny.
I remember someone calls you Care. Like, hey, is Care here?
Yeah, what the fuck's that? No. It was funny though when we were in high school. Back in the old days when we had CBs were really popular. You know, we had CBs in my Jeep, my buddy's truck, and everybody used to call me Horn Dog, so we were on that. And some guy was like, Corn Dog, and then just like my buddies busted up. So Corn Dog stuck with me for a while.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's how nicknames started. Was your name nicknamed Corn Dog? And then of course, we're guys, so we're like, yes, it is.
Yep,
yes, that is right. His
Did
name.
You have a nickname?
What's that?
Did you have a nickname?
People call me Jester when I was a chef because I had to wear them pants with all the little like the squares. So I look so I look like a jester. So people called me Jester, you know, in the restaurant, you know. But then that didn't stick after I left the restaurant. K Dog was a one where everybody was a dog. That was short lived. Everybody was a dog. So K Dog.
So you wore the Jester pants after you left the cooking.
Yeah, no.
You walk out with pants on?
No, chef pants. Yeah, you know, they were always chef fairly fairly dirty. But yeah, K Dog.
Oh, you know. That's awful.
But yeah, Jack's in its own nickname. You know, there's really not a.
I didn't really ever have any nickname. I mean, I got called a lot of mean names, but those weren't really nicknames. You know, it was a lot of different epithets, but you know, it's just like a one syllable name. My last name is Heyer, but it's pronounced Heyer, so nobody knows how it's said. You know, I tried to when I'm in Nicaragua, they call me Jackie Two Tones because I always got two Tonias on me. So that was my Nicaraguan nickname. But besides that, you know, I just never had any good.
Jackie Two Tones. That's a tough name right there.
Two Tones, yeah, because
name of your scorpion.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a good point too. The scorpion doesn't have a name yet, but we'll come up with something good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a good contest.
Yeah,
name the you know, kind of like the contest, and that'd be called Bodie McBoatface. Remember that stupid Don't do a naming contest, Jack. You know, just be.
You know, especially if I'm involved too, it will not be genuine at all. It will be mostly a spiked naming, you know, which I've cultivated that sort of, you know, energy. So I can't fault anybody for having that. You know,
Exactly. And we always thought, you know, with our other company, Trash Panda Cigars, we got the Trash Panda. I said one day we're going to have a naming contest because he doesn't have a name, because that's not me. That's the mascot of the company. So one day we'll have a cool naming contest,
be named,
you know, for that. So you mentioned earlier, we'll get back to cigars, you know, I'm sure make your bosses happy. You mentioned the new cigar, tell us about that cigar, how that cigar came about, what's going on with that, when's it going to be released?
Sincere apologies. I was hoping to have it sent to you guys by today. I did not. I procrastinated a little bit, but they're on their way. I've been told that they were shipped, so you guys will get to try them. But nice. Broadleaf was released this month. I smoked through all of mine. I'm also in my bedroom, so I don't really smoke anymore. But the cigar came out this month. The blend is a Honduran broadleaf wrapper, which is something, you know, we haven't done before. I'm sure has been done before, but I haven't seen before. Which is interesting because when I think broadleaf, I can't help but think Connecticut for the most part. And they're very specific flavor profile of a Connecticut broadleaf. And the Honduran broadleaf is totally different than that. You know, the binder and the filler are both Honduran. And then there's a little Dominican filler also. But it's not as strong as you would think it is. It's really a true medium cigar. And surprisingly, I find a lot of people that smoke the Connecticut, it's kind of a really nice next step up for them. So when I first smoked it, I was expecting it to be very, very full flavored. It's full flavored. It's got a lot of like leather notes, but it is not this total ass kicker freight train of a cigar. It's super smooth, medium bodied, nice, you know, a nice, not foolproof bourbon, but like, you know, or a, like an English mild beer. It's got some kick to it, but it's super medium bodied, super smooth. So it has a copper band on it. I threw away my box like a fool. So I don't even have it with me. I smoked through them all, but it has been received well so far. I'm excited for people to get their hands on it. It's $8 to $12, depending on where you live. Prices differ. So if you're in New York City, don't yell at me if it's more. And then three sizes, Robusto, Toro, Gordo, and those are traditional, you know, 550, 650, and then 660.
What color is the band?
It's a copper band.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, didn't somebody just release a review of that today? Developing Palette? Was it Developing Palettes or somebody?
I'm so slack and I didn't even see it.
I think I saw that in my Facebook feed somewhere. Okay. that
we didn't send our samples yet for media, so we're getting that out so everyone will try it. But I'm excited. It's been great feedback so far for us. We haven't released a regular production core line since 2020, so it's been a few years since we've had
it. Has it been that long?
Wow. It's Nicaragua, so we haven't had a full regular production cigar in a long time. So it's just nice to have something that is readily available. You can get it if you like it. It'll be there, you know, longer, and it's just a good price point. So it's been received well. I like smoking it. The Toro is my favorite, but you know, it's like picking your favorite child. How could you possibly?
I mean, if you're gonna have like, you know, I'm a Bellicoso guy, but if they don't have, it's just Toro. I just gravitate towards a Toro. It just seems like that's the perfect.
It's just the amount of time I want to smoke. And we do have some box press, not in this blend, but we do have some box press Gordos, which that's my jam. But 56 is about as high as I like to go ring gauge wise. And really 54 is mine where I usually max out. So
you can do 60 if it's box pressed. I mean, that's the only
box press is perfect.
That's only 60 I can smoke.
What's the largest size Camacho makes?
So we do have a blend called a Scorpion, which is like a catalog thing, but most everything is 660. So we don't have okay. Now Davidoff does make some, it's called the back to back, which they do have some 770s, but they don't have any, we don't have any, everything else is, Camacho goes up to 660.
Oh, okay.
But do they still make the back to back? We got a couple of boxes up there, back to back. Okay. I haven't seen those in a while.
We still make that. People love, you know, people love their giant ring gauges for sure.
That they do ridiculous, you know, and it's all about cost, you know, not all about cost. Some people really like that cigar, but I find just because the price difference isn't that much. You can go from a Toro to, you know, a 770 and, you know, it's $1.50 more, you know, you get like two and a half.
Weird value thing. I actually really like the trend of like, let's just keep making bigger ring gauges. Terrence at Norris is a big friend of mine. I think that they didn't they do a 990 or did they do a 1000?
I think there's the 100.
Yeah.
Which I think that's funny. And I'm of the opinion of like, if people buy it, we should make it. Like, why not?
Honestly, though, like seeing some of the size, like the bigger, like Asylums and stuff, they're just so big, and there's a lot of people who buy those.
At a certain like ring gauge, it becomes like a weird like fetish thing almost.
Yeah. There's just too much.
I remember meeting Tom Lazuka for the first time. It was the Ybor City Cigar Heritage Festival many years ago, and you know, I didn't know anything about Asylum. I didn't know anything about Christian Aroa. I mean, I didn't know anything about it. So I went ahead like this little spin the wheel thing and you get like a free cutter or a lighter or a cigar or whatever. And then I think I got a cigar and he's like, oh, what do you like to smoke? And I go, and that is Camacho Criollo. That's what I smoke all the time. He goes, hey, you come to the right booth. He goes, we used to own that company. And I'm like, oh, hey, you know, so that's yeah. So
yeah, there's definitely like also like proportion how when people what they look like when they smoke. Like some people, like these big burly guys will have the most tiniest cigar.
Yeah.
And then some of these really tiny guys will have that big cigar. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
So. Do that in private. Well, I'm of the opinion though, if you like a cigar, cigar king, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
A glitter covered cigar and it was a good cigar and you like smoking it, there would be the cigar industry. But if people like it, isn't that what we're all about? We want people to smoke whatever.
I know people give people such a hard time about like certain cigars, and I'm just like, who cares if that's what they like? What do you care? It's not your money.
Yeah.
You're not buying it. Like, calm down.
I don't know. It reminds me of like when Nick Jonas was on the cover of Cigar
Aficionado. Oh, everybody lost their mind.
And I was like, heaven forbid somebody that's not 500 years old is on the cover of Cigar So many times we can put Ron Perlman on the cover, and I like Ron Perlman. This is not anti-Ron Perlman, but I'm like, we can only rotate through Ron Perlman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like so many times.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, it's like love all those guys. But like eventually, you guys, we're gonna have to sell cigars to people that like aren't 1,000 years old. Like we have cigars. Yeah,
I think with Nick Jonas though, everyone's biggest thing was because he's a role model. But also, somebody said that he has asthma, and so they were like, how can he smoke cigars when he has asthma? And I'm like, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was like,
who cares?
Yeah, but no, that's what. But there was like all these things. Smokes a cigar with an albuterol. So weird. Yeah, he's like, take a puff. Take an inhaler. I was
saying that to you, Jessica. I'm saying it when you hear these, when you see the questions, you see people comment. You're like, honestly, who cares?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it's just. And the like, I don't understand. There cannot be a new alcohol without some sort of celebrity like
endorsing it. Yeah.
Frankie Muniz is tequila. And, you know, I'm not dogging Frankie Muniz. I'm just saying like, it's like every person ever is releasing a tequila and that's totally okay. But heaven forbid, you know, anybody smokes a cigar in public. It's like, good Lord.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh yeah. You know, I just saw the commercial yesterday. White Claw has a new vodka. You can get White Claw vodka now.
Yeah, and it's like, you know.
So who are they going? I mean, we know who they're going after. You know, they're going after the teens that are drinking, you know, or late teen, you know, that are drinking the White Claw. You know, they want to get them bumped up into. Mm-hmm. You
know? Yeah, I mean, I think that was because your daughter's, Amber's going to be 29. And so
that's her next step. White Eagle Claw is law, is what she says.
That's what she says. So I just feel like that's kind of like her, like generation a little bit. Like they probably kind of saw like certain things being popular when they were younger, and then that's like kind of what they gravitate towards when they start drinking. You know, I don't know.
There's like certain. It's like cyclical. Like in alcohol and cigars too. It's like for some reason a certain brand will just be like. On fire, like Casamigos. It's like, that is like the it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Casamigos, but there's like certain cigars, certain liquors that just are like unreal, like crazy popular. And I'll say this in a very positive way, like Leaf by Oscar. Like, what a great idea. How did everybody not think of that before? And like, you can't go into Cuba without seeing that.
It's great. And it sells. And it sells.
Well, you've seen a lot of brands have followed in the footsteps of the Camacho coloring of the band. I mean, there's a lot of them out there that, because Kevin and I talk about this all the time of just how brilliant of a, you know, that is. And now you're starting to see other companies have switched over to brighter, you know, colorful bands. Other ones are coming out and you start to smoke the cigars and know your cigars by the color. I like the purple. I like the blue. I like the red.
Yeah, because you can't walk into a cigar lounge and go, I smoked this Oliva. Well, which one? All the bands almost look the same. Is it the V series? Is it this? And then you're kind of like, that band still looks the same.
The same with Padron, the same with, you know, I love Pete Johnson, Tatuaje, you know.
Yeah, it's like, his band, he doesn't really, they're not like.
I kind of forget, like a bubble where it's like, I'm so involved in cigars and cigar stuff. The average cigar smoker consumer probably doesn't know who any of us or any, I mean, they might not even know Carlito Fuente or Jonathan Drew or any of those people are. So they're just walking in there and they're like, I tried this one. I liked it. And they might think that they grabbed the same one next time. And they don't even know. So
Yeah, that's true. That happens a lot.
They don't know, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when you're traveling out and about, I mean, you haven't done a ton of events, but you've done quite a few. Yeah. Have you seen? I mean, as your Camacho Live Bold. I love the Camacho line. I love the graphics. That to me that kind of gravitates a little bit towards the newer, younger cigar smoker. Have you seen that, you know, like, you know, a lot of the younger, you know, cigar smokers?
I think it's relative, first of all, because it's so, I mean, it's so like regionally based. And then also, you know, a lot of the events that we're doing are with some of our better accounts. So we just get great turnouts usually. So, you know, and when you say younger in the cigar industry, like if somebody's sub 40, somebody's sub 50, they're like technically like younger, you know, demographically. Yeah. So I have been to, and it's so wild, just the disparity, like not the difference, the great difference in like just different crowds of different cigar shops. Cause you'll have some that are like, you know, very respectfully, they're like retirement homes, you know, everybody's been going there for 20 years. It's the same crew. And they like to just sit down and just have a nice conversation with each other. And it's real laid back. And then we've had some where we're like, you know, and we're like jamming out and shotgun and beers type of stuff. So it's like each one is its own thing. And I would say the Camacho, we try to bring the party, but it's kind of like, you know, like your store is your store and we're not going to change that. And so I don't know. I don't know if I would say we've seen younger. Just because it's hard, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of, I don't feel like I see a lot of like, you know, 20-year-olds yet, but I'm still hopeful. I feel like nicotine is as popular as it's ever been. You know, I get a lot of debates or arguments about, you know, I'm more optimistic on our industry and its future. But some people say, hey, you know, I don't know. I think that everybody in this older generation, when they go, we're all kaput. And I'm like,
I don't think so. I'm with you, Jack. I don't think so. I like just even being at the lounge. I mean, we have a nice mix of just different age groups, but there's a lot of younger smokers coming in and they're getting into the pairings and, you know, people are visual shoppers sometimes. And, you know, so it's interesting, but like the Camacho line is like, some people I think are a little intimidated until they kind of, you know, talk to, you know, like somebody about like the blends and stuff, because it's not usually people are like, oh, that wrapper's dark. It's going to be too powerful for me. But some of the colors are like, oh, those are bright. Are they strong cigars? You know, but then they like start like learning and then they come in and they're like, oh, that's the cigar I want. You know, so I think it's catchy. Like it engages people.
Strength argument I have with a lot of people, and it's almost like people smoke Connecticut's and they just assume that if they smoke a Maduro, they're going to catch on fire. And I'm like, look, I do understand. Like if you have not eaten a meal and you smoke a triple Maduro Toro, you could get a little queasy, you know. It's not for me. It can't happen. But you know, but it's like if you just smoke. Eat a meal, smoke a Maduro, you're going to be fine. You're actually going to really enjoy it.
Yeah. I
had a coworker who described, he's like the real age Maduros. He described it as like a banana, you know? And when you see a banana and it gets like all the dark spots on the outside, your assumption would be that it's like stronger, bitterer. He's like, but there also with that comes a little bit of like crystallization. There's a little bit more sugar happening. Now, I'm not going to say tobacco is like a banana, but I think that there are elements of that. There is some, you know, with age, there is some natural sweetness. There is going to be some nicotine uptick, but you know,
it's organic.
Yeah, it's organic. It's one ingredient. Well, one and a half, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So, all right. I think, it's almost been 2 hours already. I can't believe time.
I'm having fun.
It is, especially having fun with old friends and anybody watching tonight, listening in the future.
Oh, hold on.
What?
Manny's. We got to ask.
Oh, Manny. Oh, he's joining on. So Manny is our resident Oak Island expert. So, Jack, do you watch the show Oak Island?
I've never heard of it.
Okay. Geez.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. They dig on the island. They're looking for like a lost treasure.
All he has to do is Google it and he'll see 1,000 memes and he'll understand.
So, yeah. So it's all about aliens and digging up treasure.
Well, and he's also really, and Manny's really into Crusades. Aliens and stuff. So do you believe in aliens?
Is it like a conspiracy theory?
No. It was like on Oak Island. Somewhat. It's an island off Nova Scotia in Canada. And like I said, supposedly that's where like pirate treasure was buried, you know, a couple hundred years ago.
So Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant. They've been digging there for 100 years. They found like 8 buttons.
Yeah. And, Civil like War buttons.
You know, yeah. and that, and that's it. But they don't.
Couple of zippers.
I'm on the memes now.
Yeah. See, I knew. I was like, 1,000 memes will pop up and that will explain everything.
The only thing we've managed to watch over several seasons is a hole getting bigger.
It's not going to be Oak Island.
If you, somebody who ever started watching Oak Island, like the very first one, and then turned it and didn't ever watch another one until today, it would like be the same.
like you picked up like 8 years later, and they're still on the same.
Oh, they've been dewatering that chamber for like 10 seasons.
Dewatering the chamber. Which chamber?
What
found a log. We think it's old.
So what about aliens? Are you an alien guy?
You know what? I just don't lose a ton of sleep over it. I think there are some people that are like, look, the aliens came down here. They built a few pyramids. They peaced out. I'm like, where did they go? Why would they like? And then I've got to do some more digging on the Mexico alien. Are you guys up to speed with that?
Yeah.
What the hell is that? That looked like the fakest alien thing ever. So
from all the research I've been doing since like the Mexican thing coming, they're coming back in 2027. That's why not the Mexican aliens, but the aliens are on their way right now. All the governments of the world know it. Hector Elizondo from the, he was the guy in front in charge of ATIP. He had the TV show. He's been like, he's dropped some hints, you know, okay. So everybody knows that in 2027, the aliens are landing. Everybody's going to know about them. They're not going to be, they're like literally going to land in the middle of the city.
Like, do they,
that's what I want to know. Yeah.
Like, yes. So apparently this group that's coming is cool. They've been here before and they have told all the governments of the world that we're landing. We're telling your people that we are real. Okay. You need to get them prepared for it.
Ben is saying they said the aliens would be here last year.
I don't know.
I think that an alien, like, even if it's not even like a real one, like an alien rival or something, we would be so united. Can you imagine the Olympics if we had like aliens that were maybe attacking? We would all nations, all ethnicities, all religions, we would all just band together and be like, we got to stop this.
And all die quickly.
Yeah, we would all be on the same page in a day. That would be great. We should make up fake aliens to just for that purpose.
Well, that's a theory. That's another theory I read about.
We'd be on Mars in like 3 months. We'd be up there. There'd be a Corona cigar up there in a year.
That's true.
That's one of the theories. Fake aliens. That's one of the theories, is that they're doing all this in order to create a fake alien invasion. So the governments can take over.
Okay. Oh yeah, declare martial law and it's
one of the whole thing with all the different all the technology that's out there to create like fake spaceships and stuff. So it's whatever it is, you know, as long as you have plenty of alcohol and plenty of cigars, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm working on this, bro, just for safety. Yeah, I just want to make sure I just want to be fully, my humidor to be fully prepared for any event.
He's gonna make sure he has the biggest sack of rice.
Yeah.
I gotta reorder
the rice.
I finally caved and followed what Kevin's rule was, where he's starting to interact with AI. So when it takes over, they're friendly with him. So we kind of start doing a little bit. I'm like, you know what? Maybe Kevin's got an idea there, man.
I would say every time I ask AI to do something, either a picture or rewrite a letter, I always say please and thank you, because I want AI to know, like, because everybody's on a list and like, hey, this guy right here always says please and thank you. He's good. You know, so that when they come walking down the street, they're just going to give me a little tip of their hat and then move on and destroy my neighbors.
Oh my gosh.
So, well, ChatGPT is completely destroyed. I mean, this industry, every Instagram caption in a year and a half will be the exact same. It is a oaky, earthy, woody cigar. It is delicious.
Well, also all the AI like photos that are going around. Like people, it's a little creepy, some of them.
I had to reach out to a friend of mine, a brick and mortar owner, probably like 6 months ago, and he had posted a couple things about a cigar online, and I sent him a text message. I go, hey, you may want to double check ChatGPT when you make these descriptions. And he goes, why? And I go, that's not the name of the cigar company. You know, it's not the Nick Melillo Cigar Company. It's called Foundation. And I go, you know, and I'm like, you have a cigar lounge. Like you should have known that. I mean, double check.
I love it. There was a golden period of like 3 weeks where I knew about ChatGPT and my coworkers didn't. Thought that I was God. I was like, yeah, I'll do it right now.
That's awesome.
I'm like, hey man, some people got it, some people don't.
Have you seen the South Park with the ChatGPT?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh my god, it's hilarious! You gotta watch.
Yeah, that one is actually pretty
funny. South Park, and it was one of their. But I mean, we're coming up on the new season too. Like the girls are texting, the guys are using ChatGPT to
respond.
And like, oh my god, look what Stan wrote. He is such an, you know. And then he's just using ChatGPT.
And then when they were face to face, she was like, you know, like say something, and he was like, And then like they're trying to like talk through like an earpiece, like the outfit.
It was great.
Computer stuff. It was so funny.
Oh my god,
it was good.
So Care, any final questions before we let our guests go for the night?
No, it was a pleasure meeting you finally. And
my next trip to South Carolina. Well, I'm not going to make that promise, but you know, we're one day.
Please do. So, I'm in the upstate Greenville area, so I'm about an hour 15 minutes from Charlotte. You know, we have some shops here that obviously are some Camacho accounts, but you're up here. Look me up. Give me a holler.
Stranger.
Now how do people find out about like the events going on?
On my Instagram, I have a cigar Instagram. It's Jack's Cigar Burner. So like a burner Instagram. Yeah. They can find me there on Facebook. I have a post there. The Camacho Cigars Instagram account will post them. So I have a full list. I have like 15 more for the year. So I spent a lot of time in the South and in like Texas. So if you're in either of those, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, something like that, in your area at some point soon. So come by. We smoke cigars, eat some barbecue, hang in.
Speaking of barbecue, someone did ask, I had a question written down somewhere. They wanted me to ask you, will the burger challenge be coming back at all next year?
We did that last year. We always do some sort of food thing. So we cook something ideally with fire, ideally on site. So we'll do something next year. It probably won't be barbecue. It probably won't be burgers, but it'll be something cool. Tight-lipped there.
Nice.
Right on. Jack, thank you. We're not going to wait 3 more years to have you on. So I
won't be a stranger when I'm out your way either.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you move up this way, we'll meet up at wherever, you know, Corona is pretty close. One either Sarasota with Jessica or up at Tampa. So we'll definitely meet up and have a cigar.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, man. You have a good night.
Thank you.
Take care, Jack.
See you. All right, everybody start typing in the word cigar for our Tapping Ash and Taking Names giveaway. And in the meantime, we'll hear a word from our sponsor, Corona Cigar. Dusty.
Yeah.
So all right. So she was asking about our prize tonight. It's a little dusty.
I go, that tin is
so dirty. Since we moved into the new since we moved into the new lounge here, I have found a lot of stuff that I am wanting to give away. I do have to go through some ashtrays with Jessica to see which one she wants to
listen.
Keep.
There, I so you're usually
supposed to send me some ashtrays. I'll wait on that.
Oh, good. Thank you. Take some. usually, I am all about giving stuff away, but there's a few things I came home to, and I was like, "Yo, you don't get to just decide everything." Like, there was some stuff that was actually mine, and I was like, Kevin, "Now we're gonna get rid of shit I've been asking you for 2 years to purge stuff." But so he decided to purge my stuff.
Yeah. So I'm just doing what he asked me.
His stuff, mine.
So the first place you always start, Jessica, with someone else's shit.
But that's I was it. Like,
so tonight we are giving away the Drew Estate Dirty Rat tin.
Yeah, it's truly dirty. And hopefully
it's dusty. Inside is some Drew Estate cigar holders. And then there's also from our partner Corona Cigar. This is the August 2023 Corona Regular Cigar of the Month Club. Some fantastic cigars in there, and then also a couple of cigars from our partner Amendola Family Cigars. So let me put that off to the side, and then we'll share my screen here.
Oh, you got to do that. Beep.
Oh yeah, let's do the other. It's time for the Tapping Ash and Taking Names giveaway presented by Amendola Family Cigars. All right. Let's see. Share. Now wait till it pops up on Jesse's screen. Yeah. All right.
Well, it's kind of tiny.
16.
And then Michael Strasburg and JJ Jambalaya are the only two that cannot win for tonight. Well, Mumra, the ever living, right on. Send me an email at kevin@cigarprop.com and I'll get you your prize pack out. Next week, we welcome the owner. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but he owns Family by Loyalty Cigars. So we're going to be finding out. I think it's a newer company. I'm not 100% sure. I met the owner in one of the virtual herfs. Seems like a pretty cool guy. Yeah. So we'll have him on and hear his story. Make sure you're following Cigar Prop producer Jessica Caraviante of Stogie Road Cigars on all the social media medias. Links are in the show notes down below. If you're watching tonight, they're in the podcast description if you're listening in the future, as well as our esteemed guest, Jack Heyer of Camacho Cigars. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Alan.
What's that?
Cigar Show Tim said Alan.
Alan, that's his name. Alan, thank you, Tim. And also thank you, J.C. Newman Cigars, Cigar Medics, Amendola Cigars. We are the muscle. Jake Wyatt Cigars, Illusione Cigars, deep in flavor, deep in your mind. K by Karen Berger Cigars, Corona Cigar, and of course, Drew Estate and Experience Asset Care.
Yes.
Leave us with a final words of wisdom for the night.
Words of wisdom is it's always better when Jess is here.
It is. It's fun.
It's always better when Jess is here. That's my words of wisdom for the night.
Right on. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.